Today on Real Radio.
The Bible talks about Jesus said there are going to be great earthquakes, and he says all these things that will be happening, men's hearts will begin to fail them for fear. Heart attacks because of what's happening. You say, well, Pastor, you're not encouraging me much. Well, hang on, here we go. I want you to jot these down. My friend, it's time to be encouraged. Israel's going to be radically encouraged in this day. God will open up a way and she's going to escape. And the unbelieving, the Bible says that they're going to be perishing at the hands of the Antichrist. The believing faithful that have the testimony that do not escape, they'll die for their faith. The 144,000 and their converts. But there'll be a remnant of Israel saved, says the scripture. And we believe that they're going to be heading to Petra there in Jordan based upon Daniel 11, verse 41. But what is our strength? Christian, we need to be strong. We need to rejoice because the days are going to get more evil. There's going to be more attacks against us. Here in America, it's already started on a legislative level. It's going to increase. It may manifest itself in violence. You say, well, Pastor, aren't we going to get raptured by then? Maybe, maybe not.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Revelation. We're looking at the last five verses of chapter 12. It's a passage of symbolic, albeit graphic, warfare, describing what happens to the dragon, the serpent. In this dark section of John's apocalyptic account, there is hope. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs, continuing in this study called Hope from Heaven.
It says here that the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up. Swallows the flood, which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Church, again, put your little yarmulke on when you're thinking here for a second. Be Jewish. You're a Jew. You're living in the tribulation period. You know the Old Testament, and now you've been reading the New. Because people have been talking about, hey, have you read these Left Behind books that this guy wrote several years ago? And all your Christian friends told us there'd be days like this. Let's peruse the New Testament and see what we find. They're going to open up the Bible. And they're going to start going through it. And remember, they're Jewish. And they're going to come to verses like this about eagle's wings. Whoa, are they going to know, hey, that reminds us of our escape from Egypt. Then they're going to come down here and we're going to hear about an earthquake swallowing up our enemy. Ooh, that reminds us of who? Remember Korah? Remember God had called Moses to lead his people? And Moses was doing a good job. But can you imagine? If you have a family, you know how hard it is just to get your family to agree on something? Can you imagine getting 2.5 to 3 million Jews to agree on something? It's been said if you have 10 Jews, you have about 15 opinions. And they're really fun people to talk to. We traveled to Israel. You know that. You've gone with us to Israel. And they will argue. They won't even believe in their own argument, but they'll argue with you about it. And then when they see you turning blue in the face from arguing, then they say, well, I don't believe what I was just talking about. I just wanted to see what you'd say. I mean, that's how they are. Moses is leading them and leading them. It's a difficult job. And then Korah, he's had enough. And he comes up there and who's made you in charge? Well, God called Moses to this job. Moses, remember, didn't want it. He didn't want the job. God says, Moses, you're going to do it. I don't want it. You're going to do it. I don't want it. He tries to send his brother to do it. God says, all right, I'll speak through your brother to the people, but I'm going to talk to you. God calls Moses. And so all this stuff's going on, and Korah shows up with his little band of goofballs, and they want to overthrow the government of God, which is manifested in this man, Moses. And believe me, Moses would have gladly given it to him if it wasn't a calling. So Moses says, look, basically, I've had enough of this stuff. And I could so relate with him. Think about it. Lord, I've had enough. Not only is it so difficult to lead your people, but this guy keeps chewing on me. So Moses says to Korah, all right, look, let's just draw a line in the sand right here. We'll just draw it across the sand. And whoever wants to be with Korah, stand on this side of the line. And whoever wants to follow the Lord, be on this side of the line. I don't care which side of the line you get on. Doesn't matter to me. And, decide. And we'll let God judge again. We'll let God, maybe God wants to change his calling. Fine with me, Moses says. Let's do it. And so they got Korah's guys, you know. We're with Korah. Yes, we are. We're with Korah, you know. And then the other guys, you know, Mo, here we go, something, I don't know. The ground, God's, Moses says, Lord, just show us today whoever you want to lead these people. I honestly believe that Moses did not care. He'd had enough. And the ground began to shake, and the ground opened up and swallowed all the people who were complaining. Praise the Lord. That is so beautiful. There's nothing worse than complainers, whiners, and gripers. You know why? They never produce a solution. They just whine about everything. Nothing's right. And you got to love them. And that's the hard part of it all. But the ground opened up, swallowed up those people, and they were gone. The Bible says, warning Israel again. Wow, he did it in the past. Do you see what this is doing? It's calling Israel to put faith in God based upon what he did in the past because he's faithful to do it in the future. Verse 17, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Who in the world are these people at the midpoint of the tribulation period? You already know who they are. Revelation chapter 7, 144,000 Jews who have been born again and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That dragon, Satan, via the Antichrist, will turn and launch his rage against those who obey God's commands and keep the testimony or have the testimony of Jesus. It's the 144,000 evangelists that we studied about in Revelation chapter 7. And the Bible says in chapter 7 from here on out, from chapter 12 here on out, that they will die for their faith, won't they? The Bible says they will even be, and this is amazing. We'll hear about more of this in the future, sad to say. But they will be beheaded for their faith, which leads me to believe. And I haven't read this anywhere. I may be dead wrong. I doubt it on this issue. This is a future event, isn't it? Revealed here in the Bible. It's coming. So if the world scene concerning current events around the world, if the stage is being set, hey, let me put it to you this way. My friend, listen, cheer up. I want to encourage you right now. The world is not falling apart. Is it getting more evil? Yep. Is it getting more dangerous to not only be an American, but of course to be a Christian? Yep. Do we at this hour have the liberty and the freedom and the safety to gather together as a church publicly? Yep. Thank you, Lord. But is not there a storm brewing? Is it not beginning at least in America? And it has already begun in other countries like Pakistan and India and North Africa, Sudan. You go to the Sudan and say, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? Do you know your head will be cut off? Did you know that's what's behind what's going on in the UN? It's the wholesale slaughter of Christians in the Sudan. They will not bow to Allah. Read. Get your nose out of the magazines and start reading and finding out and go search and see. Synagogues and Christian churches in the year of 2003 were attacked more than any other time of modern history, and it's increasing. Christians were worshiping the Lord in Pakistan when motorcyclists drove their motorcycles into that church, stepped out with bombs and machine guns, and killed 19 Christians worshiping the Lord on a Sunday morning, and it's increasing. I find it very interesting that the Bible says that the mode of the Antichrist to destroy his enemies. What does it say in the scripture? It's future. What's the mode of removing or killing his enemies? The Bible says it's beheading. Isn't it weird that you and I are sitting in the 21st century, and prior to September 11th and what we've seen since, you and I would have almost laughed at that verse of the Bible. We'll read it in chapter 13, that those who do not bow to his system will be beheaded. I believe that somehow there will be a connection between the Antichrist and his power out of Europe and Islamic belief. And if you know anything deep about Islam, the head must come off of any infidel. And it says to start first with the Jew and the Christian. Surah chapter 5, Surah 9. Interesting things. And to this, I want to turn and talk about our hope. With the time remaining, we need to wake up and realize, not wake up and become depressed. My friend, the world is not falling apart. The world, according to God, is coming together. Everything that has happened in the world, it's as God said it would be. Jesus said that right before he returned, there would be wars. And by the way, you say, well, there's always been wars. The word that he used in Greek are global wars. He said there would be wars and rumors of wars. Is that not happening? Ethnos against ethnos. Nation against nation, or ethnic groups against ethnic groups, to kill them. And that's rising in the world. Kingdom against kingdom on a global scale. That's political philosophy against political philosophy. That's happening. Jesus said it will be going on a global scale. Jesus said that there will be great earthquakes in various places of the world. I encourage you, jot it down. If you doubt what I'm talking to you about, read Matthew chapter 24 and then go online to Google, or I think it's caltech.gov, or just type in Caltech. Go to Caltech and type in or research the history of earthquakes, or type in the search engine there, frequency of earthquakes. You'll be shocked to find out how the increase of what's called superquakes have completely changed the complexion of science and of the world since the 1950s. Unbelievable increase. By the way, I don't want to worry you right now, but when's the last time we had a good one? It's been a while, huh? Dude, Pastor, don't talk like that, don't talk like that. Oh, you know, we're kind of used to them, and all of a sudden it's been awful quiet. You know? We kind of enjoy those little hiccups and burps from once in a while, but now, I don't know, it's been a long time. The Bible talks about, Jesus said there are going to be great earthquakes, and he says all these things that will be happening, men's hearts will begin to fail them for fear. Heart attacks of fear because of what's happening. You say, well, Pastor, you're not encouraging me much. Well, hang on, here we go. I want you to jot these down. My friend, it's time to be encouraged. Israel's going to be radically encouraged in this day. God will open up a way and she's going to escape. And the unbelieving, the Bible says that they're going to be perishing at the hands of the Antichrist. The believing faithful that have the testimony that do not escape, they'll die for their faith. The 144,000 and their converts. But there'll be a remnant of Israel saved, says the scripture. And we believe that they're going to be heading to Petra there in Jordan, based upon Daniel 11, verse 41. But what is our strength? Christian, we need to be strong. We need to rejoice, because the days are going to get more evil. There's going to be more attacks against us. Here in America, it's already started on a legislative level. It's going to increase. It may manifest itself in violence. You say, well, Pastor, aren't we going to get raptured by then? Maybe, maybe not. Things could happen. What if terrorists begin to start thinking, let's start nuking synagogues and churches in America? Think about that. I tell you, they're not happy. If you've been reading Al Jazeera, go on to Al Jazeera online. Get the sermon from Mecca. It's translated in English. Why? In this world around us, are there warnings of terror regarding innocent children and women and places of worship? This is a falsehood. This is not a truth. But we have been told as a nation, stop praying for Israel, stop supporting Israel, leave Israel alone, and we will leave you alone. That's not true. Because you see, it's a spiritual war, my friend. It's spiritual. And this is what I want to encourage you with. 1 Corinthians 10:13. You ought to jot them down because we're going to need them. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to every man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Do you know what that means? When a temptation comes into your life, as a Christian, you can stand here today and say, you know what? There is no temptation that can come into my life that Christ first has not provided a way for me to escape. That's why the Bible says, flee from all appearances of evil. I had somebody tell me a couple of weeks ago, we want to get married. Oh, great. Talk to them some more. Well, to save money for our future, we're living together. Well, wait a minute. The Bible says to flee from all appearances of evil. Oh, no, we're not having sex. We sleep in separate rooms. Look, man, I don't know about you. But if you're hot to marry a girl or you're hot to marry a guy and you're excited about it and you are going to try to save money by living in separate rooms under the same roof, well, then you're stronger than King David ever was. And we need to all hang out with you to just draw from your spiritual strength. Because, buddy, just knowing that she's down the hallway ought to drive you nuts. And that's an okay kind of nuts, but not under the same roof. But, man, I tell you, and this is one of the three original thoughts God has ever given me in my life, ever. So, you know, you ought to jot down your original thoughts because they're very few. Never underestimate man's ability to justify his own sin. Because it looks horrible on somebody else. But man, when you're wearing it, it ain't so bad. Trust God. Move out of the house and come together as a husband and wife the way you ought to. Flee all appearances of evil because your neighbors are all thinking you're sleeping together. You see? Things like that. God, when the enemy brings the temptation, you don't go like this. Oh, no, a temptation. Here it comes. Oh, no. Oh. Oh, man. Whoa. I'm recovering from this sin because the enemy tempted me. No, you knucklehead. You gave into it. You didn't stand up against it. You didn't take that verse and say, the Lord is providing a way of escape with this temptation. Christians, get strong. Man, when you go to work tomorrow and you're filling up your coffee cup there or whatever at the drinking fountain and Bubbles walks up there and bats her eyes, you know, hi, sweet boy, did you work out this weekend? Because you look really good. She'll tell you, what are you, crazy? That's a temptation. Flee. Run. Yeah, but what is she going to think? Who cares? Get out of there, man. Be encouraged. You don't have to give up. And that translates into anything. Temptation. Could there be a temptation for you and I not to come to church anymore or to fellowship with God's people anymore? Because maybe this world goes nuts or maybe, I mean, look at our brothers and sisters at this hour that I'm wondering if they're even allowed to have church today in Fort Lauderdale and our good friends at Merritt Island, Florida, and all of that area where Francis is wreaking havoc. That I can understand. And I bet you still, I know those churches, I bet you still they're saying, hey, we can't make it all the way over to Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale, but let's get together and meet in our neighborhood. I know those people. Will you fight like that and not let temptation overcome you? You don't have to. Another thing, 2 Corinthians 9:8. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Man, that's enough. That you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have abundance for every good work. That verse is about as pregnant with joy and victory as you can imagine. 2 Corinthians 9:8. What about Ephesians 3:20? This is one of our favorite verses here. Now to him, that's the Lord, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That's good news. Lamentations 3:32 and 33. Though God brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love, for he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. That's comforting. God's not setting out today to ruin your day. Hebrews 6:19. Are you guys getting this? Can you hear me? Is the sound system working? Can you hear this? Hebrews 6:19. This hope we have as an anchor for our soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. What is that all about? What is our hope that enters behind the veil? My friend, have you put all your hope in Christ? Are you trusting him completely? You just ought to decide to do it now. Oh, I'm trusting in my money. You may not confess that. You may not even see that. But you might be trusting in your money. You may not have your money for long. Psalm 42, verse 5 says, why are you cast down, O my soul? This is David speaking to himself. Why are you bummed out? Hey, self. Why are you so down? Why are you so disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise his name for the help of his countenance. Christian, you're not hopeless. You know what? God forbid, but if there's a September, what is today, the 5th? If there's a September 5th attack, 2004, hope thou in God. If there's an attack via disease, cancer, terrorist, economy, hope thou in God. Job says, naked I came and naked I go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's only one hope, and it's the hope of Christ that will get you and I through all the way to the end. And it's easy to preach right now to the choir. We're here. We're healthy. Things are fine. But you give this message to those that are in bed, in the hospital, sick or dying, and they'll grab onto it for life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, taking us through the last five verses of Revelation chapter 12. Hope from heaven. That's the title of this study, despite the fact that it is a relatively dark passage in John's apocalyptic writings. Join us on tomorrow's broadcast of Real Radio as we work our way through this final book of Scripture. You know, Real Radio exists so that you will learn and become better equipped with each passing broadcast. That's why it's essential for you to make this program part of your daily routine. In addition, we're making an offer to you that'll help equip you even more. For your contribution to Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you the book by R. Kent Hughes called Set Apart. Set Apart is a social report on the behaviors and lifestyles of Christians and how they're becoming mere reflections of the world. And then Set Apart also becomes a how-to of sorts on holy living. In addition to the book Set Apart, we'll also send you Pastor Jack's powerful message, Can a Nation Rise Again? It was delivered on the eve of 9/11's fifth anniversary. Can a nation rise again? Well, yes, if certain things first happen within our society. Find out what they are by hearing Can a Nation Rise Again? Now, this is all for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Go to realradioactive.org to learn more. realradioactive.org. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number, 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your participation. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine
amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.